You are listening to episode number 293 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Fuck you, Hickman!
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light.
Been spending most of the night.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, where we discuss all things Marvel-related, including movies, TV, comic books, etc., etc. You know what the etc. is if you're tuning in. This is episode number 293, goddammit. We're a good ways in. If you don't know the score by now, I don't know how to help you or what to tell you. I am your host, who is busy alienating the audience. I'm Bri-Bri, and over here is the OG founder, Benny Boy. Ben, welcome to the show, marvelous one.
I hate you, Marvel.
Okay, not the best opening to a Marvel podcast, but hey, we persevere. Also joining us all the way from that deep, dark pit known as New York City, it's Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
I know you can't see this, but here's my middle finger right there, right in your face. Right there.
Oh,
right.
No, I can hear it. I hear it in the voice of every New Yorker when I speak with them.
I said you can't see it because it's a giant middle finger right there. Right there. Even though this is my bad hand right now, my bad hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, right there, right
there. All right, rein it in. John is no longer with us, at least for today. I don't know what happened to him. There was some report of tornado and midgets flying around, and I don't know. We'll see if we can bring him back at some point.
Didn't he say he was getting swept away looking for Toto? Something like that.
Something like that. I heard Toto.
I was going to say that Thor is currently drunk in the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma. So, well, yeah.
You know, that's what happens when a Norse god makes his home your backyard. Unfortunately, things like that are going to happen. But we are, again, the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are dedicated to all things Marvel. And I think as of now, I can say that we versus the Game of Thrones fandom definitively may have the better ending based on popular consensus. I think that we have the better decades culminating ending to our franchise than Game of Thrones got. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Game of Thrones did end with Sean Connery coming out saying, "I am Mr. Thrones and you have won my game." So, I mean...
He didn't stab someone through the heart with a katana. Be like, there can only be one. No, none of that. Damn it. You know, that's why I don't watch. But regardless of any of that, we are currently we're living. And then forgive us if we're a little seemingly hungover, but we were still dealing with the fallout of Avengers Endgame because that was kind of a turning point for, Marvel popular culturism and stuff. And god damn me if it's not making all the goddamn money out there. Holy shit. I think it's currently up past 2.2 billion, I want to say.
Woo!
Was that?
It's making a lot of money.
I don't actually, I'm going to try and look up its box office, but
it's officially past Avatar, right? I think.
I
think it may be teetering on the edge. It topped Avatar domestically, but it hasn't done it globally yet, which is what we're aiming for. So, as of right now, Avengers Endgame, 2.223 billion, I think, is where we're currently hanging at. So, you know, if
a lot of it from the Chinese.
Yeah, man, those Chinese people, they love their movie theaters. So. If you're out there, go to the movies and watch Endgame again. We need it to be the Avatar. We need a recognizable franchise as the number one spot, goddammit, because there's never going to be another Avatar movie. Fuck that. But you know what? What do I know? Because fucking Disney rules the world. And that's actually going to lead us into our first little segment. You know, we've been talking a lot on here about the Disney Marvel acquisition of Fox Studios. And that was, you know, that's a thing. One thing you may not know is how much of a stake Disney had majority stake in the streaming service Hulu. They now have complete operational control effective as of, I think it was a week ago. They seized up to 60%, working on a deal with Comcast, who currently still hold 30%, but their 30% will be up for sale in January of 2024, at which point Disney will likely buy it and own 100% of the Hulu streaming service. What does that mean? Well, in the short term, nothing. Comcast and NBC and all those anime services still have their contracts with Hulu, so they're still... they're streaming currently. But as of January 2024, we could be looking at a mostly Disney-dedicated streaming service, which I don't know why you would need that considering Disney+. But then someone pointed out to me the brilliance of this, because Hulu will likely be the dumping ground for the more mature content of the Marvel Universe, including all the Netflix shows, probably once their contract lapse and their non-compete, non-airing for however many years happens. Those will probably end up on Hulu. If it's any indication, it's hinted at based on the fact that Hulu is also going to be getting a series of animated shows for a more mature audience, including Hitmonkey, Tiger and Dazzler, Howard the Duck, and MODOK. They'll be coded The Offenders. And they also announced this week that they're going to be making a new Ghost Rider and Hellstrom show for Hulu. The Ghost Rider show will star Gabriel Luna, who played Robbie Reyes in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season. Yeah, bitch. And Hellstrom will focus on Damon and Anna Hellstrom. I don't know if Anna is a made-up character. Can anybody confirm that for me? Or is there actually an Anna Hellstrom that that exists? Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. They're going to be the son and daughter of the quote-unquote most powerful and most mysterious serial killer in the MCU. It's probably Satan. And, they'll have, their own little dark drama going on over there. But, yeah, so big things popping in the world of Disney TV. Pretty much, they're just going to own everything after a certain point. I mean, Jesus Christ, what's the point of even trying anymore, it feels like, let's turn it over. Ben, what is your opinion of the Hulu news? Any opinion whatsoever?
Nothing really, other than it just scares me more how Disney's owning more and more shit. Pretty soon they'll own all of us and our souls.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
One of us.
Pretty much. If Trump doesn't get us, Disney's gonna get us for sure.
Yeah. There's a.
Can a corporation run for president? That's a question you should be asking.
Well, they have human rights in the U.S., so you never know. God knows.
You know what? Motherfuckers would vote for Disney to be president. I guarantee.
I would vote for Kevin Feige as president of America in a heartbeat. See, he gave us the Avengers, motherfucker. America. Yeah. But, there was a very scary infographic floating around. I'll share it on our page on Facebook. But it shows just how massive the Disney Corporation is. I mean, that shit should probably be broken up based on, antitrust, law. I feel like that would be extremely necessary, And I know that goes against every whiny fanboy who's like, they finally have the Fantastic Four. They can do the X-Men and the Avengers. Bullshit. Shut the fuck up, okay? Listen, you little shit stain. Okay. Do you know how this works? This means there's so many less studios out there when Disney just gobbles something up into their conglomerate whole. Okay. So don't act like you know what you're talking about just because you want your fucking characters to team up on TV. Fucking bastard. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Ben, please go back and please resume.
Anchor.
I don't care about any of this. Damien Sommerhellstrom never, he's a fine side character, from what the little I've read of him, it's whatever, I don't really care. And after considering how the last time a Marvel production handled Mephistopheles, I don't trust him with Mephisto at all.
You mean Peter Fonda as Mephisto?
Plain as Peter Fonda as Mephistopheles, he's not Mephisto. I don't really care for Latino Ghost Rider. I mean, the Dodge Charger's cool, but am I wrong that I just want the badass motorcycle guy?
Not at all.
Who's the other guy? Danny Ketch?
Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch. Either one of them's the motorcycle guy.
I'm sorry, motorcycles are, when it comes to riding held things, it's cooler on a motorcycle. Yeah, the Dodge Charger's cool, but... I don't look. And as for the Netflix shit, we know how I feel about most of that garbage. There's only three seasons of a show worth saving from that, any other crap is not worth revisiting. So
I will say that, you know, the one thing I will hold against Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which their new season just kicked off, actually, I think last week. So
and we're going to ignore the Thanos thing.
No, we're not.
Oh, they're actually not, huh?
Yeah, they acknowledge it.
Wow. Who got dusted?
They haven't actually done that yet.
Wait, what?
Okay. Oh, no, you know what? You're right, actually, because you know what they did, and this is actually really confusing for some people. They only jumped a year ahead from where the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show ended. So they're presumably they're still living in within that post-snap timeline of that five-year
gap.
So
none of them got snapped? That's stupid. Some of them should have died.
Are you kidding me? They actually brought Coulson back from the dead because he was dying.
They did.
None of them got snapped.
No, we don't know.
As far as they've been revealed. No.
Yeah, and also, the world does not look like it's been snapped.
Yeah. You know, personally, I think they just fucked up and they got the timeline wrong. But
I think they ignored it.
Funny considering that Endgame actually acknowledged the TV product and this show just ignores them. Like, you think that's like, oh, it hurts, doesn't it? Like, punches them in the gut. Like,
and what was it? The last episode of the last season referred to it because what's his name was going to go off to fight Thanos. They even mentioned him. So,
what's his face?
Graviton.
That's it. Yeah. They actually. Anyway, the point that I was getting at was that the one thing I'll hold against Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that they didn't really do much with the whole Ghost Rider flaming effect, really. They kind of skimped around that for budgetary reasons, I would assume, more than anything else. But you didn't really get the full taste of Ghost Rider from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, but they did acknowledge in the show that the motorcycle riding guy does exist. They weren't direct about who it was, but they definitely showed it. So they could bring that guy in. And if nothing else, this looks like they're almost leaning in like a Midnight Suns kind of direction, which I would kill somebody for. Don't get me wrong. I love you guys, but I'd kill you.
Yeah, but is anybody going to really give a shit about Damien, son of Hellstrom? Like, come on, man.
I don't know. I mean,
Damien might require a bit of explanation and. Although they could work backstory and do it like
Hey, Mephistopheles put his dick in some woman. There you go.
But I think
the devil seduced somebody. Shocked. I'm shocked.
But wasn't Agatha, what's her name?
Agatha Harkness?
Yeah, and the lady that was who taught Wanda magic wasn't like one of her children involved in that shit.
I don't fucking know. They're not going to do any of that shit for
the TV show. You know, if they're going to do Sons of... Midnight Suns, then it might touch...
The question is, why aren't they doing Moon Knight?
You gotta hurt me like that, Ben? You gotta hurt me like that?
No, I'm not hurting you! I'm legit... Like, you're telling me you have a fucking board meeting, and you're like, you know what we need to do? Ghost Rider I get, because Ghost Rider has some recognizability, because he has a cool design, despite having a Dodge Charger now instead of a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Or whatever motorcycle.
He's also Latin now, which is he's also ethnic.
Diversity.
Yeah.
So like what and like I don't understand. Like nobody's at the table. I'm like, hey, we just lost Daredevil. We got another guy. Let's use him. Like, come on. I think, and plus I would like to see how they handle the schizophrenia. You know.
Yeah, that it'd be interesting. I mean, it would probably be something in the vein of Legion, which season 3 trailer just dropped.
Right,
so, yeah. I would kill to see it. And also, hell, do a Blade series while you're at it, motherfuckers. Come on, like what else you got going on? No, like a real Blade series though, they invest in.
Real Blade series,
not the Spike TV sticky fingers version of fucking
Blade.
You're
saying Sticky Fingers couldn't play Blade, huh? Is that what you're
saying? I'm saying he couldn't hack it because he only lasted
one. Method Man for Blade.
The ratings went up second half of that season.
Although actually, Ben. You say that. Do you know who's actually – I saw one guy tap as a potential suitor to Blade was again, I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, the black guy?
Yeah, the black soldier guy from that. He's being like, yeah, he could probably be Blade. What the hell not?
He's a black guy who did the cutting with the swords. Sure.
He manages to convey a lot without reading much of a script, and that's kind of what you're looking for.
Can he dodge his taxes like Wesley Snipes did?
I thought that was like 100% Caucasian.
No, there's a soldier guy in there. He's black and
there too.
They got cocoa and all that milk. My God.
Yeah.
The question is, whoever plays Blade, can they dodge their taxes like Wesley Snipes did?
Nobody can do it like Wesley Snipes did.
Is he okay now? Is he fine?
He's still really expensive to insure for movies, which is why he's not around anymore, kind of. But yeah, I mean, otherwise he's doing okay. He's okay, working out with the government.
For that.
Yeah, he got sent to jail for tax evasion. I think it was like for 18, 24 months, something like that. So.
Wow.
Hey, man, celebrity money talks. Even when you're avoiding taxes, just means you got more money to bribe people with, you know?
And ran to Africa to try to avoid it, coward.
Taser, any thoughts on the Hulu stuff?
Hulu.
Yeah, I'm going to take that as the...
I'm not subscribing, and if they air anything that looks interesting, yeah, I'll pick it up. But other than that, don't care.
All right, fair enough. Oh, and before I forget, before we move on from the TV news, because I'm kind of covering TV as a whole, shouts out to The Gifted on Fox, who will not get a third season. They got canceled after two. R.I.P.
I always wanted to watch it, but I never gave it the time of day. Never heard anything about it, either.
That seems to have been the general consensus, you know? So, which is unfortunate, but hey, you know, what are you going to do? So.
I still have all of season two on my hard drive to watch.
Well, you're part of the problem, Taser.
I intend to watch.
Oh, really? Well, you got all the time in the fucking world now, Taser. You got all the time in the fucking world now.
It's going to leave you on a cliffhanger that will never be resolved.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Considering my age, do you know how many shows I've been through that have done that? That's just another one in the pile.
That's true.
Okay, moving right along to the movie news. Jesus. Movie news. Okay, yay. So Marvel Cinematic. They have one more movie on the slate for this year. That is going to be
Doctor Strange 2.
Nope, it's going to be Spider-Man 2. Far From Home. Aww. Guess again. Yeah, it's coming out in July. I want to say it is July 1st or 2nd, something like that. Yeah, so Disney actually released their slate of upcoming dates for movies and such, and they include Star Wars movies, Marvel movies, and Avatar movies. Now, they aren't really specific as to what movie is filling which slot, but we do know that we're expect two Marvel movies in 2020, one on May 1st, one on November 6th, three in 2021, and three in 2022.
And none of them are New Mutants.
Well, New Mutants is being pushed back to April 3rd, 2020. So I think that's considered outside of the slate. But, fucking New Mutants. We probably won't see it until they get control.
No, it's going to be the Roger Corbin movie of our time.
Seriously. And that is surprising me, considering how fucking stacked that movie was cast-wise. I mean, you got Maisie Williams, you got Charlie Heaton, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Or one of the Game of Thrones chicks?
Yeah, Game of Thrones chick, the little one, and then you got the guy from Stranger Things, the boyfriend. You know, you got Anna Taylor-Joy or something like that. Yeah, I mean, there's a decent cast there, and the fact that they just kind of shelved it, I'm like, oh, what the fuck is so bad? Like, it can't be any worse than fucking Dark Phoenix is gonna be.
Gonna be a train wreck.
Yeah, and we're gonna review it right here on the Mighty Warriors 3 Movie Podcast. It's the swan song of the Fox X-Men franchise. We have to review it. It's a milestone, even for the worst of reasons. So,
One of those movies
will likely be The Eternals, which is gaining steam. In addition to Angelina Jolie and Kumail Nanjiani, who are already cast in the film,
That'll sell it.
Yeah, well, Eternals is also circling Richard Madden, who is known for playing Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. He will be tapped to play Icarus in the Eternals movie. And also, I think this was an interview with Jim Starlin.
I hope he doesn't fly too high to the sun.
Hey. Well, I think he's gonna be on Titan. So you know, there's a little ways away.
Wait, the Eternals are on Titan? I thought they were Earth-based people.
No, well,
they're supposed to be.
Well, yeah, but they'll probably just lump them with the Titan, you know, Titans and stuff like that.
But then hold on. So they'll lump them with Thanos' people.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, Taser, is because in a recent interview with Jim Starlin, I think it who it was, Jim Starlin said he got it on good authority that Kronos will be showing up in the Eternals movie, and Thanos may actually show up as well, as this movie is supposed to take place thousands of years in the past of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Huh.
Who's Kronos again?
I don't fucking remember. Taser, who's Kronos?
Chrono. No, Mentor is Thanos' father. Chronos
yes.
is Chronos was an Eternal from, I believe, Titan, who went and actually expanded his consciousness so much so that he literally discorporated, and he became like kind of somewhat omnipresent, you know, kind of.
He became kind of like time. Is that what you're saying?
No, not time, but he went kind of cosmic, you know.
Okay.
I think he's one of the Eternals from Titan and not from Earth. I think he is. No. Whatever. I can't wait to see what they do with that, because if they actually show, if they actually tie Thanos into that, then it's just going to be like, so wait a minute, the planet that they went to was actually his home planet and not, you know, some other Titan, which means that would be the Titan within our solar system.
Which would make sense for the Marvel Cinematics tendency to, like, condense and compile and kind of put it all into one kind of thing.
But notice,
you know?
they never actually stated where it was. They just said Titan. Which,
yeah.
And I think in some other medium kind of said that, no, Titan was, like, over here. Like, over there, you know. So,
yeah.
Do it. I you know, it'd be, a minor retcon, but it's still a retcon. So, it should be interesting.
Yeah. It's over there next to Apocalypse. I mean, not Apocalypse.
New Genesis.
Yeah.
it'll be the kind of retcon which would explain how the X-Men have always been on the same planet as the rest of the MCU, but they weren't involved in anything. You know, that kind of retcon.
Yay. But yeah, I mean, as far as I know, you're making a joke. But what do you think about how this movie is shaping up, T? Because I know you're like, oh, that's gonna put butts in the seats with fucking Angelina Jolie and Kumail Nanjiani.
Okay,
but
that'd be perfectly honest, I couldn't care less who's starring in the movie. The simple fact that they're trying to use the idea of the Eternals was another attempt for them to use something that was a substitute for the X-Men and trying to get that ball rolling. But, you know, the Eternals, even worse than the Inhumans, they don't fit into anything, you know, because they tended to keep themselves separate from the rest of the Marvel Universe. I mean, anytime an Eternals book came out, like, what was it? There was the one in the early 2000s, and there was the one back in, what, the late 70s, you know, not including that maxi series in the 80s that I read, you know, they don't work. You know, they just don't, because we're talking about people who've lived for, I don't know, 4,000 years plus, you know, a lot of them older than that, and, you know, we're talking about having a whole slew of abilities, being tougher than hell, and, yeah, but let's try to make them seem human, because that's what they do with these characters. They want you to relate. How the fuck do you relate to somebody who's over 4,000 years old?
Well, I mean, Thor does it pretty well.
They had to make him a fat drunk to make people like Thor.
Hey, I really liked Thor. I liked Thor throughout his sort of appearances, and I thought he was pretty fucking
dope.
But
did you relate to him?
Well, I mean, relate to him in, like, the way of, like, I see myself in Thor.
You see yourself in Thor? I didn't know you had those feelings, but okay.
That's nah. Damn it. I can't let them find my fan fiction.
No, but I'm just saying, though, it's one thing to have an appeal for a character and to like what they're about and blah, 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 but it's another thing to relate to what they're about. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing with Peter Parker. People relate to Peter because reasons. You know, and Tony Stark,
reasons I will never understand, but yeah,
Tony Stark,
on.
he's vulnerable because,
but he's also a billionaire. I can never relate to a billionaire.
Yes, but he's damaged, and people relate to damage.
Oh, damaged, of course, battled by constant feelings of inadequacy in the shadow
I'm
of his father,
saying,
the constant betrayals at his brother.
These are the things that relate.
Okay.
And so the Eternals, I can't wait till they start coming up with the Eternal with drug problems and the one that beats on their spouse.
Here's my question. Here's the thing. I kind of wonder, because a lot of, you know, what Marvel has done with the last, you know, fucking 15 years, or, you know, how 11, I don't fucking know. It's been so long. A lot of what they've done has been interconnected. I don't understand how you're going to connect the Eternals to anything going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe moving forward. You know, maybe that's just me and my tiny mind, and Kevin Feige knows more than I do, but I don't, because every movie has a place and a reason for being there and has a reason for existing. They tie into something. I don't know how they're going to do that with a movie set thousands of years in the past about basically alien gods. So that's kind of what's getting my goat.
And not only that, but if we're talking the Eternals, we're also talking the Celestials, unless they just, again, completely ignore them. So...
You mean we might get more than a 5-second movie clip, or what?
I'd be shocked if we did that. I mean, if they showed that. I mean, maybe there might be one off in the background doing something, and they'll use that to explain how they came to being. But then if they actually talked about, you know, there being like a first, second, and third host, and, you know, they're supposed to come back to render judgment upon the Eternals and humanity as a race or whatever, I would be thrilled. I bet you dollars to donuts we're not going to see it. You know, it won't happen because that's too much backstory and that CGI they'd have to render.
Well, you know, but they're going to have to go somewhere with these movies now that Thanos has been kind of taken out of the picture. So, you know, that's as good a spot as any, I think, to start until you get, you know, the X-Men and Fantastic Four off the ground, conceptually, I mean.
What? So. All they need to do is just take and pull in Galactus.
Yeah, I mean, but by that same token, you could use this entire movie as essentially a setup for the Celestials, you know? So.
Yeah, you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I do. All right, Ben, do you have any comments on the Eternals or any you know, any of that?
I'm very much excited looking forward to the fourth world movie. I mean,
it's fucking Eternals.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, as long as it looks like Jack Kirby, like Thor Ragnarok had elements of it.
Kirby dots everywhere.
Kirby dots, the lines, you know, the weird circular patterns.
And they make the poses that look like they're reaching out of the page towards you.
That would be cool in 3D.
That would be fucking rad. Hell, give us that opening title sequence now. You know, give us, like, panels jumping out at you and shit. I'd pay to see that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Right. Or if they actually direct action that makes it look like it's coming right at you.
I just hope they're caught, because I've read the only Eternals things I've read is by Neil Gaiman, John Romita Jr., which is about 10 years ago. Actually, no longer than that, 13 years ago. Jesus. Like, their costumes are colorful. Like, so yeah. Retain that.
And that's not going to last. That'll go bye-bye.
Well, it's a good thing I don't have a strong investment.
What they do with costumes. They try to make sense of costumes. It's not going to last.
You know, no, you can get away. They got away with that kind of with Ragnarok. They didn't go to extremes, but they didn't, you know, go to the typical... You know, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent look or whatever. No, they kept it.
They made the and let the world be colorful. Costume wise, no. Where's Hawkeye's costume?
He doesn't have a costume.
Actually, Hawkeye does have a costume.
Well, in the movies.
Okay, I'm pulling Hawkeye in the movies.
Moving right along.
Dang it, I wanted to get into this.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it off screen. But speaking of talking about things off screen, you may have caught Ben's oh-so-subtle jab at Mr. Jonathan Hickman when we started the show here today. And that's going to lead us into our major comic news bit, which is that Jonathan Hickman was announced a while ago to be jumping onto two bi-weekly X-Men books called House of X and Powers of X. They're going to be these big fucking deals, and no one really knew much about them. However, news came out recently that this isn't really an event. This is them rebooting the entire line of X-Men comic books from Marvel. And some people are not so happy with that decision. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw it to Ben. Ben, you lead off on this one. Tell us how you feel and what it means to you.
This is so fucking stupid. Like, literally, like, we were like, you know, here's what makes me mad. Here's what makes me mad. So, January 2018, we get a new book. It's called X-Men Red. X-Men Blue and Gold have been shit, so here's X-Men Red. It was good. It was the best X-Men book. It makes sense of fucking Jean Grey coming back. It was a good team. But then, you know what? Hey, we want to bring back Uncanny X-Men in November, so we're going to cancel X-Men Red. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Then you want to fucking throw a 10-week... The first 10 issues are fucking weekly. You want to throw that shit on me? Okay, fine. I like it. You know, X-Man is a bad guy. He's like evil Jesus. Okay, cool. Fine, whatever. Then you want to Thanos snap them at the end of that shit. Like, okay, thank you for taking that shit away from me, but I wanted all of them to get... Okay, fine. Now Cyclops is back. Okay, cool. Yeah, he's back. Okay, fine. Wolverine's back. Okay, cool. And then they're together, and now they're operating out of a bar. Okay, this is, and then now Wolverine and Cyclops are fighting, and it's like we just did this not even that long ago, and now after, and like just they just rebooted it, they just restarted with Uncanny number one. I paid $7.99 for that fucking first issue. Oh
but
my
it didn't
god!
Take, so they have to re-reboot it,
and it's just like. And it's like, instead of, you know, letting it gel, even though I was going to drop the book anyways because it was already spinning its fucking heels less than 17 issues into the fucking run, you have to... Oh, my God. Fuck. This is, like, listen, I'm probably, okay, here's the sad thing. I'm probably going to fucking read this shit when it comes out. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be... I can't be
That's
upset
the
fact...
kind of shill he is, folks.
Oh, my God. Listen... Because I know Hickman's a good writer. If this was, if like they should have just like not done this whole if they didn't do any of this rebooting, relaunching shit, I wouldn't be mad. Because it would have been like, oh, okay, finally we're getting something with the X-Men. But they just rebooted it. You just started a quote unquote new paradigm for it. But then it wasn't the new paradigm. It was just the old paradigm of just making the X-Men homeless. That's all you did.
Don't you understand that since they're bringing Hickman on it, Hickman doesn't want to carry over any of the other stories from the previous writers, so they're going to re-reboot it.
No, and that's fine, because this run has been garbage for the most part. So, well, like, it's just
that's
like...
a shame, too, because I like Rosenberg as a writer, but, yeah, his X-Men run has not been so
great.
No, it's been
mediocre as fuck, dude.
If I may read a select Jonathan Hickman quote regarding the incident, just to maybe rile you up a little bit more.
Yeah, this is the quote. Fuck you, pay me.
To quote, I didn't feel like just doing a new number one was enough. I also didn't think that if we were serious about what we were trying to do, we should have a mixed message in the market about what an X book is. So I argued for canceling the entire line. Why it would work, why it was a good idea, and most importantly, why it was what we needed to do narratively to return the X-Men to their rightful prominent position in the Marvel Universe, end quote.
Wow, I can't wait for that to fail. I'm saying it now. I can't wait for that to fail.
Hey, speak for yourself. I bought every fucking issue of his Fantastic Four and Future Foundation run and Secret Warriors and fucking Secret Wars.
Okay, so you sucked at the teat of Hickman. I didn't. I can't wait for this to fucking fail.
Gazer, when was the last time you legitimately bought a comic book?
Back in 2014.
Okay, there you
now,
go.
Now ask me when was the last time I read a Hickman book.
When was the last time you read a Hickman book?
Secret Wars.
Okay.
Ask me what I thought of it.
I know what you thought of
exactly.
it. I did podcasts with
so
you about what you
like
thought
I
of it.
I don't know anything about Jonathan Hickman.
That's Fair enough. Saying. I'm going to be the devil's advocate to Benjamin's rage. I'm really excited for it. As I said, I bought every issue of Hickman's Fantastic Four run and his companion Future Foundation run, which that is also getting a new series, by the way. It's a smaller thing, but they announced they're going to be spinning off into the new Future Foundation book, so yay. But I bought every issue of those. I bought his entire Secret Warriors run. I bought Secret Warriors. I'm a Hickman fiend. I love his stuff. Some of his stuff doesn't quite grab me, but I have dreamed of him getting to play with the X-Men characters. So this to me is like Christmas come early. I didn't buy in on Rosenberg's X-Men reboot. I bought a couple of issues to kind of test the waters. That was mostly when Cyclops and Wolverine came back, and I didn't really get or buy into it. And now I understand that it was just my Lord and Savior, Jonathan Hickman, sending me subliminal messages to not buy into it so that I would be ready so that when he arrives, I can go all in on House of X and Powers of X. Power be Hickman. Well, Hickman is.
If I might.
Yes.
About Powers of X. They had a Diamond Retail Summit in Las Vegas. Yesterday, a day before? And there was this blurb that was shown up on a screen.
You got a blurb?
This blurb. Powers blurb. Of X number one will have the most important scene in X-Men history.
They say that shit every fucking time.
So
they do.
We all do. Have to buy this issue. As a matter of fact, I think we should make it the book of the week.
It probably will be.
It will be.
All right, then.
Because I'm a masochist.
If you want, I'm sure Taser can hook you up with a special quote-unquote copy of the book.
Nah, oh, bitch. Yeah. I take the razor straight to the vein.
You know what? I thumbs up that. You know, that's the man who knows
hell
his
yeah.
poison
hell
and
yeah.
knows how he wants to die. I approve of that message.
Oh, yeah. So, obviously, kind of a mixed room here, and only time will tell what's going to become of that series. But God damn it, we'll be here to tell you about it. So that'll be coming down the pipe in July.
Yeah. I wish John had been here for this, because I can only imagine.
Well, I'm letting you and John have space for whenever we get together next to do your thing about that Avengers cut movie, because I'm not. I want you two to tag team it together.
That's fine.
So, yeah.
It's not going anywhere. It can wait.
I know, but I want him to be able to say his piece on that. I know he was excited, so I'm gonna table that for next time. But anyway, we're gonna take that cue and move on to talking about comic books, because that's kind of still what we're about here. And speaking of X-Men, Taser, why don't you lead us off and talk about Uncanny X-Men number 17 for us, pal? Like, can you defend the life that is Rosenberg's X-Men series?
I cannot, but that's because this is the only issue of his run that I've read.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
I don't have the legs to either to really condemn it, and I can't praise it. Although I will say I'm not a fan of this particular issue. Apparently, and this kind of goes back to where I happen to stand with X-Men currently, I had no idea that there was apparently a big fight that had just happened recently. Okay, I had no freaking clue. I also didn't know that there was a younger clone of Magneto who reformed the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
That was weird. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Joseph.
Shit, they brought Joseph back? No
yeah.
fucking shit.
I didn't even know this.
Oh,
I also
my
did
God.
Not know that Cyclops was back. That's
yeah.
how far out of the loop I happen to be. So I found all of this. Also, Betsy is apparently not in Quanon's body anymore.
Yeah, no, they rectified that a few months ago.
Yeah, see, this is all news to me. But,
so you're just jumping in right into the cold
oh,
water,
I,
ain't
it,
you?
It's no, I'm jumping in, and it's just nothing but ice. So I went head first. Okay.
Just smack, like, oh God, what happened?
And apparently, issue previous, Mirage had suffered some kind of psychic shock to find out that Wolfsbane had died. And I want to say this. I'm reading this because one of the members from the GLCMB, Agent Orange, was it Agent Purple? Agent Purple, excuse me. He had mentioned it and kind of gave it one of those, what the fuck did I do this for? And that piqued my curiosity, which is why I'm reading this book. So, the book starts off with, as you had mentioned earlier, them in a bar. Again, I don't know why this is the setup. It's Logan and Cyclops.
Because mutants are, basically mutants are, in the first 10 issues, mutants, what a surprise, mutants did some shit that they get blamed for it, so everybody, humanity hates mutants! And because
again, still?
Yeah.
That never really changed at all.
No,
me,
no,
okay.
and they destroyed, because the X-Mansion was actually in a Central Park, believe it or not.
Huh.
And they destroyed it in the 10 issues. So that's why they're homeless, because they don't really have a bankroll, and the X-Men are kind of like, we don't really have a lot of allies. The fact that actually Captain America shows up, and he's like, I can help you, but I can't help you, like, publicly help you.
To be fair, Captain America has his own PR issues going on right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he should be in fucking jail. Why is he talking to the... Sorry. Sorry.
Well, they're in a bar in Salem,
did you
Center,
know two
New
fucking
York?
Issues of Marvel Comics in the same week had fucking Galactus in it? Oh my fucking god. Sorry.
Yeah, he did double duty.
Hey.
And hi-o. Also, apparently Cyclops must have damaged an eye because he's got an eye patch on.
Hulk shot him in the eye.
Wait, who shot him?
Hope shot him in the eye.
Psycho got half blinded. That's fucking funny.
Fuck you, Grandpa. Pfft. Ah, god damn it.
Yeah, but the way the panel looked like, you thought it went straight. It looked like it went straight through the head. Wow. So it's a miracle he only lost part of healing off the eye.
He actually lost the eye?
Yeah, he doesn't have the eye. The eye doesn't work anymore.
Oh, that's funny. A half-blind Cyclops.
So he's literally a Cyclops now.
Yep.
Because like... oh, I hate Scott Summers now. I really do. Anyway, so they're in the bar. They're talking about Scott's trying to get Logan to go to the funeral. And, you know, Logan doesn't want to go because not all of us grieve the same way. And he's like, it's not about you. It's about family and being there for everybody else. Blah, blah, blah. Kind of the start of this same old argument that Iggy had mentioned, you know, a couple of minutes ago.
Mm.
Logan's getting ready. He gets visited by Madrox, who gives him some information. He makes his way out to this hot-looking yellow Italian machine that's apparently Havoc's car. And he frees... I'm going to call her Asian Betsy, because I don't like saying Quanon. That just sounds duh. So he
you consider
Asian
it now.
Betsy, and what I didn't, you know what? I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to.
Please don't. Dear God.
It would have been. But
I
yeah,
know
so
where your mind goes.
Asian
I don't
Betsy,
need you.
And they encounter Havoc, and you know he steals the keys from Havoc, takes the car. So they go to find the people responsible for killing Ryan. And that was the information that Madrox had given him. Here's the story. They get to the house. There's five guys. They separate one guy. They hold the others hostage. Dude, one of them is like, what are you doing in my house? You better get out of here because this is my house. Blah, blah, blah. And he tells her to, you know, do that mind spike thing. And then he sees it all. And what happened is Ryan was sitting on a bench with a cup of coffee reading something. And these guys come along and, boy, I wish we had done something. I wish we could have done something. And one of them happens to see her and he goes, hey, babe, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just here reading a book. Well, that's a nice accent you got. What is it? You're from Dublin, right? I always wanted to go to Dublin. She's like, well, no, that's Ireland. I'm actually Scottish. So he tries to kick game to her, and she politely turns him down, and she tries to get away. So, of course, he gets grabby, and he grabs her, and she turns around, and she snarls at him. And, you know, they're all set off like, oh, what the hell? Oh, my God, she's a mutie. And right there, you can kind of guess how the rest of it is going to go. While Logan is doing this, everybody else is at the funeral, Ileana and Mirage and what's her name? Moonstar. Mirage actually reads a list of members of the Xavier School, and it's kind of a long list of people who aren't there anymore. That was actually probably the most depressing part about this book. Because, I mean, not having read this in a while, I'm not sure if these people are just off somewhere else or dead, and I was actually kind of scared. And also, I'm noticing there's no Nightcrawler, so I'm kind of really ticked off about that now that I think about it. Either which way, so she flips out, she scratches one, and then she gets upset that she scratched one, and she changes back to her her normal human form, and then the guys jump on her, and they start kicking on her and beating on her, trying to make her reveal herself, and she refuses to change back or defend herself, and they end up beating her to death. Okay? Apparently, an investigation got done, and they're not going to, the police or authorities, whatever, aren't going to do anything because she's a mutant. So these guys would have gotten off scot-free, apparently. And Logan wasn't having none of that. I actually have no problem with what he did, what he does. He entered the house of this kid and his friends with a small duffel bag, tossed it on the table, and he tells them to open it. So the kids open it, and they find brass knuckles and crowbar and chains and everything. And he says, do me a favor. Fight back. Before he can do anything, what were these guys? They were from the Office of National Emergency. They just kind of broke into this kid's house. Now, I would have no problem if this had happened any other way, but nobody heard them show up, including Logan, Mr. Super Senses. These guys just—they're just in the house, you know. They teleported there, but they show crash, and then there's seven guys in the living room. All of a sudden, you know, this to me is bad writing right here. Anyway, they're there for Logan and apparently Quanon, and well, we all know that Logan's not going to go out like that. So, yeah, he makes a move, they start shooting, those boys are caught in the middle, and the next time we see Logan, he's walking back into the bar after the funeral, and his outfit's been shot to hell, there's dried blood on him. He doesn't say what happens, but we can kind of guess, and then they fall into that same old argument that Iggy, again, had mentioned before about, you know, who wants to be here and who's a loser and who's a loner and who doesn't think of the team. And Logan makes mention about how he spoke to Blindfold and she had told Cyclops that if he had tried to go against him way back during that schism, that it wasn't going to go good. And apparently Blindfold killed herself? Iggy, did that happen?
Did it happen? What happened?
Did Blindfold kill herself?
Yeah, she killed. Yeah, she committed seppuku.
Okay. Well, he mentions that. And then they proceed to have another fight, and I'm looking at this, and again, Cyclops throws the first punch, and it shows Logan stagger. Now, I understand this is comics, but in what universe does Cyclops, without any type of power-enhancing armor or brass knuckles or a crowbar or a tank, punch Logan, and Logan stumbles? You understand what I'm saying? And then they start grappling with each other, and they fall on the floor, and they're arguing with each other, and it goes back and forth. So much so that Juggernaut has to get into the middle of it. Okay, when Juggernaut is your voice of reason, y'all got fucking issues, all right? And he makes mention about there being some kind of list and who's on it. And then he goes, hey, wait a minute, hold on. How come Emma Frost isn't on the list? And everybody stops and they look at him and they go, who the hell is Emma Frost? And that's where the book ends. This was an awful way to kill off an old character. Truly an awful way. It doesn't really add. It's supposed to start part of the story, but to have her get beat down, you know, so pathetically, I mean, I didn't like it. I absolutely detest it, and I don't like this book. I don't. The art is fine, actually. I thought the art was fine. The story itself might actually go somewhere, but the way that they dispose of Ryan Sinclair, a.k.a. Wolfsbane, just that kind of sickens me, you know? So, I would have to actually give this probably 2 Warriors out of 5. You know, I think Rosenberg just kind of put some names in a hat, and whoever he pulled out, that was the person that was going to be put up on the sacrificial table for his story. But, yeah, nah, I have no desire to read anything else of his run. Not if it's this mess. Fuck it.
All right, fair enough. Oh, because it sounds like I'm missing so much when it comes to Rosenberg's Uncanny X-Men. All right, Benny Boy, how about you? You take the middle slot here. Why don't you dig into what you got for us today?
So I got War of the Realms, Giant Men number
one. Oh, War of the Realms. That's the thing.
Am I the only one who's liking it? Because I'm liking it.
I've
been liking it.
And I wanted to. I just hadn't. So
okay.
This is,
the way you said it, I'm like, God. Anyway, so, like, I'm also, by the way, I'm like, this is the first event since Secret Wars that I've, like, gone in with tie-ins. Because I'm like, either, I'm not, but like, so most of them are, like, part of the books I'm already reading. But, like, I got the Punisher one. I got the New Ages of Atlas one, which looks really fun. And I got this one because, like, this seemed like, hey, all the giant dudes of the Marvel Universe, or at least the Earth-based Marvel Universe, gonna take on Frost Giants. Let's do this. So basically, the story is it opens up with Scott Lang finding himself unconscious in Florida, separated from Cassie, and he wants to find her, of course. And out of nowhere, here comes Freya. We're like, you need to, spoilers for War of the Realms number one, but Loki kind of got eaten. So by Laufey, I believe, was one of the Frost Giants or something. Freya, rightfully so, she wants revenge. Like, she made, like, basically saying that Loki may not have been my bloodborn son, but, you know, I raised him, I coddled him, you know, he was my son, and I want fucking revenge. So she sends Scott Lang, not the original Goliath, but the second one, the current Goliath, something Armstrong, something Foster. It's not Bill, though, because he's...
It's
not Bill, because Bill's dead.
Ben Foster. I think it's Ben Foster.
Yeah, it's whatever. He's unimportant.
Goliath.
So they got him, Goliath, Arabic giant man, whose name I can't remember.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, Scott kind of just gave him the suit in the Ant-Man series a while ago. I just don't remember his name. And then, of course, surprisingly, former Thunderbolts member Atlas.
Atlas! Giant man.
Yeah. So basically, they get, like, special makeup, and they're in the Frost Giant territory. They have to blend in. And it's just shenanigans, you know? Like, they're trying to basically... one of my favorite panels, though, was Freya expounding, like, you have to sneak into a territory that was long dangerous before the Frost Giants taken over it. It was perilous and full of dangerous creatures and people. You may call it Florida. I'm like, God damn, that's crazy. So that was the funniest line I've read in a while, just referring to how dangerous, how fucked up Florida is. Ben Foster, the Goliath Jr., as I'm going to call him, is kind of the hothead. He just, you know, he's a typical hothead. Doesn't want him like, oh, I can do better. Scott is, it's weird to see Scott be in this leader position, because you could tell he's not comfortable with it. I'm like, but he's just because of seniority. He's by default the leader. But yeah, they're gonna go fight Ymir to draw Laufey, to kill Laufey, because for revenge on Loki, so Freya can get her revenge on Laufey for killing her son. It was fine. It's not the greatest thing ever. You could probably skip it if you're like looking at the overall importance of, or interesting or fun War of the Realms tie-ins, but like it was just like, let's see the giant dudes fight other giant things, you know. I'm in a kaiju mood, okay? And they're not kaijus, but I want to see giant things hit things, and you know, it's a 3-issue miniseries. What I got to lose, you know?
Yeah, hey, why the hell not?
Yeah. So yeah, it was cool. Although it's under the subtitle, War of the Realms Giant Men Number One, it says, "Look at these incredible units, or these something units, or something."
Absolute units.
Absolutely, in the top right hand corner, it says, "Look at these absolute units," which is like, that's funny.
Oh my god, yeah, that is too funny.
Yeah, So, yeah, War of the Realms. I love War of the Realms, by the way. I've been loving this event. I've gotten, like I said, some of the tie-ins. Not all of them, but, like, you know, there's one where, like, the Punisher, it's like, there's something about fun about seeing the Punisher, like, having to deal with Dark Elves and Frost Giants. And then he has to hijack a convict bus and basically force them to align with them to escort these people across underneath the city to get to the Rainbow Bridge to depart to Asgard. And one of them was like, what are we going to do if we don't side with you? Frank just shoots him. That. Any other objections? But yeah, War of the Realms, Giant Man number one. You could do better. You could also do worse. But it was still fun. 3 out of 5.
Fair enough. You know, I like Leah Williams. I think she's doing good stuff. So, but I also know she is complete, like, Tumblr meme trash. So when you told me that Absolute Unit thing, I was at once totally surprised, but also not surprised at all.
That explains the Florida joke then.
Oh, dude, she is all, seriously, if you ever go on Tumblr, she's like one of those Tumblr girls who got a writing gig at Marvel. Hand to God, she is that person. She wow. makes playlists for her favorite characters and shares them with people on her social media. It's, yeah, no, she's legit. I like her. I like her writing.
You can tell she's having fun with it because there's a point where, like, one of them shrinks down because they can't maintain the height or they get caught or something. And it's like, who is this child with you? And I'm like, oh, it's mine. Yeah.
Before you continue, I want to read this because this is the complete list of people who apparently are now gone, and some of these names kind of caught me by surprise. Tyr, this is a Mirage, by the way. Tyr, Roberto, Sam, who's Cannonball, Amara, Doug, Guido, Bobby, Warren, Hank, Gene, Lorna, Kurt, Kitty, Aurora. Storm. Peter, Anna Marie, Rachel, Betsy, Ali, Jonathan. Okay. Remy, Jubilation, Lucas, Shiro, Japheth, Neil, Nathan, Tessa, Jean-Paul, Paige, James, Hisako, Megan, Jimmy, Laura, Joanna, David, Angelica, Monet, Gabby, Nesno, Evan, Indy, Celeste, Mindy, Phoebe, Santo, Noriko, Victor, Robert, Gabrielle, Laurie, Martha, Ja, Trevor, Iara, Lynn, Ava, Alani, Ruth, Fabio, Eric, and Charles. Most of those names I know, but I have no idea how they died.
They didn't die. X-Man basically sent them to another dimension. But they think they're dead because that's what I said. They got Thanos snapped.
This is from the 90s. This is Age of Apocalypse again.
Yeah, you're right. Except it's called Age of X-Men. You're absolutely right.
I didn't even know it was that was a thing.
It is a thing. Here's the thing. There's like five different miniseries going on there right now, and I'm ignoring it all.
Okay.
Like you would never. Like that's where that story continues, and I'm like, I'm not reading five separate miniseries. No, fuck you. Just bring them back.
I back you up on that. It's another redo. You know, something worked in the 90s. They want to make it again. Yeah, I support that. I was just shocked with all of those names that these people, you know, were dead, as far as I knew. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're not dead. They're just trapped in the Pocky universe. Yeah, it's
like, holy shit. But okay, they're shunted. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool.
They're fine.
It's like, no.
Everyone's fine.
Not Lucas and not Remy and not Jubilation. Although Charles is dead and gone and chopped to pieces and brain in parts and everything else. Is sure. Red Skull still using his brain?
No, that's kind of been put to bed. Okay, so.
Good. That was just too twisted, even for Red Skull.
For the Nazi scientist.
Well, I'm saying, let me take part of a corpse's brain, stick it in my head. Okay. God. The Red Skull with better telepathy. Than, like, what the fuck, man? You know?
Better than what we got now, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Brian, sorry about that.
Yes. So I am covering Savage Avengers, numero uno, because sometimes you just need a big, dumb action movie in the middle of everything. So that's kind of what I was trying to tap into. However, the real beginning of the story in Savage Avengers begins in the Avengers Free Comic Book Day issue. It was half of a free issue they put out, also written by Jerry Duggan and also illustrated by Mike Diodato. It details Logan inquiring into the disappearance of Saviano. He is an opera singer who knew Wolverine back when he was operating under the Patch identity in Madripoor. And Saviano was this big Italian opera singer, and he would use his clout to smuggle mutants across the world to sort of save her locations and such. And him and Wolverine were real good friends, and that's kind of where we pick up, because, you know, what happens to Wolverine's friends is that they usually end up dead. So, you know, it's a tough gig, but someone has to do it. So he's investigating this guy's disappearance, and he's accosted by the Hand, who let him know that they've captured Saviano and taken him away to the Savage Land. Or he puts it together that they're in the Savage Land because of some trace smells on the Hand Ninja. At the same time, over in Cairo, a Hand or some sort of priest is conducting a spell, and a Hand Ninja brings him the body of Stick. And, you know, the priest who's overseeing the spell sort of gives vague interpretations of what the future is going to hold. You know, standard pump-up stuff for the issue. And it's at this point when the guy finishes revealing his vague master plan that, you know, Stick sits up. And he's like, you know, see, I told you the Hand was working with someone new. I don't know what exactly. But... And the priest is like, he's still alive, you idiot. And then he gets stabbed through the throat by Elektra, who reveals herself to be the Hand Ninja who brought Stick to her, or to the priest, rather. And she sets out to figure out what the hell the Hand is doing and what's going on. And we pick up with that, with the Savage Avengers number one, again, written by Jerry Duggan, illustrated by Mike Diodato. And Saviano is putting on a show, and he gets kidnapped by the Hand and brought to the Savage Land. And it's at this point he is brought to what's known as the City of Sickles, and he is decapitated and sacrificed into a pit where a group is collecting the best of humanity, best artists, thinkers, warriors, that sort of thing. And the point is that they want to summon Jotun Lao from Icy Domain. I'm assuming that's some sort of elder god in the vein of like Hellboy or Lovecraft or something like that. But long story short, they decapitate Saviano and he falls into the pit. And the guy who did it demands they bring him more powerful warriors to sacrifice. And it is at this point that we cut to Conan the Barbarian, who is now operating inside of the Marvel comic book universe. He's been brought over. I think it was, I want to say maybe No Surrender. I don't know what event brought him into the fold, but he is effectively there now. And no, this doesn't have anything to do, I don't think, with Jason Aaron's current ongoing series of Conan the Barbarian, but nonetheless, Conan is in the Savage Land, and he is, as always, cutting people down with his giant barbarian sword, killing Hand ninjas who are trying to accost him. And at one point, he accidentally embeds his sword in the head of Wolverine, who's come looking for Saviano, and Logan calls him Crom, which, you know, I'm not a huge Conan guy, but even I know who Crom is. And, you know, they do the thing that Conan and Wolverine are best at. They fucking fight each other for a lot of pages, and it gets bloody and, you know, slashy and, you know, fun stuff. But at one point they fall down a cliff, and, you know, they're just sort of doing the standard team up, rinse and repeat thing of, oh, we're enemies, now we're working together, kind of. You know, that's sort of how it ends, but not just yet. they fall into someone's, like, basement, I think, and they're both just bloody and beaten, and they realize they've fallen into somebody's it's not a distillery, but the place where they keep all the barrels of like alcohol and stuff. And Conan just lifts a barrel up and starts chugging from it, and they pour some down Wolverine's throat because he can't get up and he's hobbled on the ground. And Wolverine just gets up, he's like, thanks, Popeye needed his spinach, and sort of just dusts himself off. And you know, they do the standard thing of Logan's looking for Saviano, and Conan is looking for some sort of treasure buried there, but they don't, he doesn't elaborate really on what that is, but they sort of shake hands and they go their separate ways. And it's at this point that we cut to in Madripoor, where Brother Voodoo is investigating a disappearance, and he gets brought to a bunch of hand ninjas who are attempting to capture him. But he says, "Did you really think I would come to Madripoor unprepared?" And he whips out a little hand ninja voodoo doll. And granted, they cut away from that. But he comes back later he gets brought back later. It's a really kind of smash cut. And it turns out his voodoo doll didn't fucking work because he's chained up, bloodied over the same pit that Saviano was just ditched into not too long ago. And he's like, "Okay, you want to go 2 out of 3 or something like that?" And it is this point that I wondered to myself, if they're collecting the best of humanity and this dude got taken out by a bunch of hand ninjas, the voodoo doll didn't work, like, is he really the best, one of the best humanity has to offer? Is he really? I don't know. At the same time this is happening, Conan investigates the temple in the City of Sickles, and he finds Crom's body with the Venom symbiote hovering overhead. Ooh. What purpose does it play? I don't know. They don't elaborate on that just yet. But they do give some backstory to what this guy is trying to do. He is trying to raise this primordial elder god to empower Crom and take over the world. And you know the spiel by now. And they've aligned with the hand to do it. So just as Brother Voodoo is about to be sacrificed, Wolverine jumps in. And before Wolverine could even get to Voodoo, this dude fucking cuts Voodoo's throat, like, straight up. Like, he's bleeding and everything. And then Logan, in a moment of distraction, gets embedded literally with ninja stars and thrown to the ground. And at that point, a bunch of hand ninjas come in because, you know, Wolverine and Voodoo are both subdued. And the hand have brought him caskets, a series of caskets. And he's like, "Why have you brought me the dead? I need powerful living people to power this ritual." And the hand are like, "Oh, we're not going to raise them. It's bait. Bait for a powerful bloody warrior." And he's like, "Who?" And then you cut to Frank Castle staring over the empty graves of his wife, his son, and his daughter. And all of a sudden, you realize they're trying to bait Frank Castle to come to the Savage Land and reclaim his dead family's bodies.
That's kind of heinous.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking gnarly, dude. It's fucking, you know, dark as shit. But you know what? It's not half bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not my usual cup of tea. I'm not really one to go in on the whole Conan thing. So I'm not really, you know, some of the finer points of whatever his backstory or mythos is supposed to be are kind of lost on me. But you honestly don't need much to jump in with this book.
He's the king of Smashma, and he comes to claim your women at night.
What is best in life, Conan? To crush the enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of the women. Holy shit. You know, that's a powerful battle cry if ever there was one. But
that's something a lot of people will never forget either.
Hell yeah. If there's one thing I do know about Conan, it's that fucking battle cry, man. What is best in life, you know? But, yeah, I mean, you don't honestly need much to jump in. I didn't. As long as you know Conan and kind of Crom, you know, you don't really need to know much about Crom. They kind of give you the whole little spiel, so you can jump into it. And to be quite honest, I'm kind of intrigued to see where this goes. You know, it's a really interesting lineup they got. You know, when I saw, like, Brother Voodoo was involved, and you know, they got
because of that shit.
Well, of course. Although, granted, he just got his throat slit, so I don't know what's happening with that right now. But suffice to say that I am intrigued on the concept, and you know, I'm willing to stick with it for another issue or two to see where it goes. Especially now that Frank Castle is going to get involved. I always find I like Frank Castle more in a team environment than solo, and I know that's very contradictory for some hardcore Punisher fans to understand, but I really do think he works better as sort of a foil, you know. But overall, I dug it. I give it a 3 out of 5. It was pretty middle of the road. Nothing spectacular like they were trying to pump it up to be, but you know what? It wasn't the worst thing I read. Kind of in the same vein as your Giant Man review. You know, it wasn't the worst. You can definitely do better, but there's not a whole lot out there that's, you know, worse than it. So yeah, I'll give it a 3 out of 5. Solid read if you're into that sort of thing. And if you want to see Conan team up with Wolverine, hey, you know, this is obviously the book that's catering to you. So All right, and I think that is going to do it for us here at the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast for this outing. We have some responsibilities, as always. You can find us on the social medias. We are everywhere. We are over on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. You can like us and follow us there. And we are a news aggregator, which means we, what do we do, Taser?
Steal stories!
We don't steal stories. We give credit where credit is due. It's just we give you one single, solitary, dedicated stream of news and sometimes memes a lot more as of late with Endgame, because that's just been a meme gold mine. funny, awesome pictures and such. And, you know, it's more Taser and John doing that. But, you know, we also bring you the important stuff. And we also add our updates through that page on the Facebook. So if you want to like us and follow us over there, you'll get our latest updates. And in addition to that, you can find our complete archive at thewarriors3.wordpress.com. Everything gets updated there first. It's our hosting site and has our complete episode archive. So if you want to hear what we all sounded like way, way back in the day, you can do so. We don't recommend it, but you can. I mean, if you got nothing else to do, you know, why the hell not, I guess. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. We're still updating there. I'm making sure of that. And if you're feeling generous, you can also, you know, leave a rating and perhaps a kind word and review. We'd really appreciate that, as always. For me personally, I'm over on Twitter at NoMrPowers. That's at NO_MR_POWERS. Benny boy, what is your plugs? Anything you want to put out there for the general populace?
Just twitter.com/MarvelousIggy for probably nothing but Godzilla shit for at least the next 2 weeks.
That's the next big blockbuster coming out, right? When's that coming out?
Only thing that matters.
Ah, okay, fair. Whatever you say, boss. Whatever you say.
Roar.
Taser, anything you want to plug? Anything you want to promote?
Actually, I'd like to give a big congrats to Ming-Na Wen, who's going to get that, what was it, that thing, that article that you linked?
Oh, yeah, the Disney Legend honor.
Yay! Ming-Na Wen is going to be a Disney Legend.
Hell yeah.
She was a Disney princess, and now she's a Disney kick-ass.
Hell yeah. Her and RDJ, he's getting one too.
Fuck him. Well, I care about Ming-Na Wen. Yay, Ming-Na Wen!
Gosh, I wonder why you care about Ming-Na Wen more than you care about Robert Downey Jr.
Because she's attractive.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. Oh, you got the yellow fever over there, don't you? Don't
you?
Hey,
that's racist. I like her because she's an attractive woman, not because she's an attractive Chinese woman.
I'm sure it doesn't hurt, though.
It doesn't matter to me. I see female. I don't see this, that, or whatever.
That is surprisingly progressive of you, Taser.
Are you saying I'm not progressive?
I'm just saying you don't show that side very often. That's all.
That's because I like making racist jokes. Anyway!
All right. Well, that is our show for this time, folks. I am Bri. That's the Marvelous One, Iggy. That's Taser. And join us next time where we finally will be covering The Punisher Season 2.
Yay!
So yay. Keep in tune for that. And then,
I won't be here for it.
You're not going to be here for it?
Okay, we'll see.
Oh, come on, Ben. We need you. You're the Punisher guy.
Unless you're here. And you know you want to share.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we will have that show coming up. We'll be recording that on the 3rd. And then the next show after that will have to be Dark Phoenix, because that comes out that week that we record, that Friday. So we'll be doing Dark Phoenix immediately after that. So stay tuned for all those fun things and more here on the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. Ben, sign us off.
And no matter what, fuck Jonathan Hickman.
Hey, that's not the words. It's stay marvelous. We keep standing most alive.